Let's talk about dads this morning. And being a dad, we're going to do whatever it takes to be the dad we need to be for our kids. And I wanted to use the little story from Luke chapter 15. For many of you, you probably could quote it, but some people have never heard this story before. And so I want to read it because it's about a dad and it's about his two sons. And they have a real family, and they have some real issues that they have to deal with in their lives. And so I wanted to just read the story to you, and then I'll just make several observations that we can make together. It might help us. This is called the parable of the lost son. It really should be the parable of the loving father. Jesus continued. Verse 11, chapter 15 of Luke, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" He said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And so he got up and he went to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. And so his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." A couple things we definitely glean from this story, and one is that it's not easy to be a dad. The second thing we glean is the only loser in this story is the fatted calf. Jesus is telling this story, and he has the disciples around him, he has seekers around him, and he also has religious rulers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers. They're all listening, and of course, they know that the elder brother is someone that Jesus is correlating with them, because they were religious and pious, and they couldn't understand, while they were trying to work their way to heaven which they couldn't do, why Jesus was being so benevolent and forgiving and gracious and merciful to great sinners. In fact, one of his followers was Matthew, who was a tax collector, bottom of the food chain. And the Bible even says that Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus even said, the righteous don't need me. It's the sick who need me. Those are the people who need a Savior. And so they would have been hostile as they heard this story. But this story is not so much just about the two sons and their response. And we'll get into that just a little bit. But it's really about the dad. It's really about how dad acted as a dad. And this dad, he's some kind of dad. In fact, this dad in the story that Jesus tells, he parallels our Heavenly Father. He's a really good dad. He's doing things really well. Yet, look at the two different responses he has with his kids. It's an interesting paradigm, interesting context. Well, we can learn some things here. Bottom line is, when it comes to being a dad, when we have kids, we want to do whatever it takes to help our kids be the people that God wants them to be. So what are some things that we need to do, that we could do, that we should do? I'll give you four things. One of them is being a worker, because we wear all kinds of different hats as a dad. At times, we're like a farmer. And then there are times when we are a coach / player. And then there are times when we are like a priest. No one would have questioned this father in this story. He's a Jewish father. He's obviously gained some material possessions here because of work and teaching his boys how to work. And work is a good thing. Say amen to that. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And sometimes, I don't know, you read and you watch, you know, it's like our culture is trying to get away from that and saying it's a bad thing. And it's not. And one of the ways we teach our kids to have a good work ethic is by modeling that ourselves. And my dad did that for me. You know, I worked on the outside, did stuff out there with the lawn, the garage, and my sisters did inside stuff, and we did all that, and it was a good thing, and it helped me. And I watched my dad work, and when my dad did things, he really tried to finish what he started. He wasn't always able to do that, but he did. He did instill in me that, hey, when you start something, you ought to finish it. If you tell somebody that you're going to do something, boy, follow through. Don't be the person that, hey, they say, oh, that's the guy. If you tell him to do something or you ask him to do something and he says he's going to do it, he doesn't follow through. So work's a good thing. And even when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall, he told them and commanded them to till the ground. Till the garden. They were to keep it. There was work involved, not the work like we're used to after the curse. God worked for 6 days when he created the universe and rested on the seventh day. And so we have this pattern, and work is a good thing. It's a gift that God gives us. However, we have to have balance. One of the problems with dads sometimes is not that they don't work, it's that they work too much. It's that they never come home. It's that they're chasing this thing in the work culture of trying to get ahead, and which is a good thing, trying to provide for your family. But you can't do that at the expense of your family. You've got to have some balance in your life. And that's why, again, it's so important for us to have a quiet time with God and read God's Word and get direction from the Lord and guidance, so he can help us to have balance in all these things. So worker, sometimes we're a worker. So sometimes as a dad, we've got a briefcase. Sometimes we've got a hard hat. But we're working and teaching our kids about work and how it's a good thing. And then sometimes we've got a pitchfork and we're a farmer. Now, what does a farmer do? He sows seed. He then waters the seed so that he can produce a harvest. Gosh, that's really what we're trying to do with our kids. And we want to sow, seed, good seed, with our kids. You know, there was a story, a life testimony of a man over in Georgia, and he was in the mafia. And the reason he said that he got into the mafia so easily is because these people loved him. They told him, his family in the mafia told him that they loved him. They hugged him, they kissed him, and they treated him like family. Well, he said growing up, his dad never told him that he loved him one time. He never hugged him one time. So finally he found these people that accepted him. And so he joined the mafia. Now, fortunately, he became a Christian, and he got out of the mafia, even though they had a $200,000 hit for him, because the father of his family that had the hit was killed by John Gotti, and so that was no more, and so God allowed all that to happen so that he could get out and he could become an evangelist. The point is that his dad never told him he loved him. Boy, that's sowing bad seed. We want to sow good seed in our kids. We want to talk about the love that we have for them and the love that God has for them. And not only tell them, we want to model that love. And that love that we model for them is for our kids not only when they do right, but when they do wrong. One of the things we have to head off at the pass is unrighteous anger. And it happens. And we have to learn how to deal with that. And we'll get to that in a second. We're going to water that seed. We're going to continue loving our kids and helping them. We're going to teach them the ways of God. This father was a Jewish father. He knew full well the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, which says, talk to your kids day and night about the Lord. Pray. You know, our family, before we get together the meals, everybody knows we're going to pray. Even when we go out to the restaurant, it doesn't matter. We're going to pray. We're going to bow and we're going to pray and thank God for the food and thank him for our family and pray for each other. We hope everybody in the restaurant watches this. Maybe they'll start praying before they do. Nothing changed. God is still on the throne. The only thing that changed was our geography. So we want to not only sow good seed, we want to water that seed. We're hoping that as we're bringing our kids to church, as we're teaching them about the Word of God throughout the week, that they'll begin to pick up on those things, model them for themselves, and then for their families in the next generation. Someday, we're going to reap a harvest. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Another thing, another hat we put on is that of a coach. Yes, we're going to direct and we're going to lead our kids, but you know what? We're going to play with them. What does it say about, what's this old line about Jack? All work, no play makes Jack dull, something like that. You know, God put us on this world, on this earth, to enjoy it. Really. I mean, not to just be robots and zombies, but to be people that are enjoying our lives and the life that he's given us. You know, there are things that your kids, it's important to them. Some of them, they like to play in the band. Some of them are in gymnastics and softball, swimming, just playing basketball on the driveway, being interacting with your kids. I remember growing up on Dover Street in Houston, our house was next to a huge vacant lot. This is a big lot. And we didn't own it. This other lady owned it, and she never mowed it. So my dad said, tag, you're it. You're mowing it. Back then, they didn't have riding lawnmowers. And it took me 3 hours to mow that lot. Oh, I used to wonder, why is my dad making me do this? But then after I got it mowed and looking good, guess what? We had a big old lot to play football on, tackle football, and my dad was all-time quarterback on both sides. We could only tag him. We couldn't tackle him. We had a great time out there. My dad got out there with us all the time. And my dad, he, you know, I was interested in sports, so he got interested in sports. If I would have got interested in something else, he would have got interested in something else. It's important, not just to work with our kids, but to play with them, to lighten up a little bit, not be so stern. There's a balance there. And we need God to help us with all that. Finally, we carry on this role of a priest. Now, why did God even bring the priesthood into the world, particularly with Israel? And then in the New Testament, what did we need a priesthood for? Why did we need a priest? Who are the people that need a priest? I'll tell you, the people who don't need a priest, those are the people who are perfect. Anybody got any of those in their house? Well, no, there's no perfect people. We don't have perfect kids. I mean, we can do all three of these things and do a great job. We're still not going to have perfect kids. Case in point, Luke chapter 15. Here's what you got over here. And this is what can happen. You've got Dad up here and he's doing all this stuff. And then comes this result. And you got this one son and he goes to the extreme over here to the left. And you have the other extreme, this other son, and he goes over here to the right. One is expressing it externally, and one is expressing his rebellion internally. Now, is God saying, well, if you raise your kids the right way, this is what's going to happen to them? No, he's not saying that. Because sometimes, and hopefully, our kids are somewhere here in the middle. There's someone here because they may be timid, a little timid and shy, and they may not be standing on the street corner and witnessing to everybody. But you know, they're following the Lord the best they know how. They've got a conscience. They're reading the Word of God. They're being active in church. And then you got somebody over here, maybe like Heather Moss, who, you know, went over to South Africa as a recent college graduate to work for 2 years with people over there telling people about Jesus Christ. This is where we're hoping to get right off the bat. Sometimes we don't get there right off the bat. Sometimes we do all this stuff up here and we've been talking about, and this happens. Now, this is the real world. You don't have control over your kids. You don't own your kids. God owns them. Now, I'll tell you something that you pick up in the story with the father. One of his responses was respecting autonomy with his sons. He didn't get them in a headlock. He didn't get the younger son in a headlock. And he was a grown man. Obviously, we're going to control our kids when they're little. We're not going to go let them play in the street. But when they get older, you can't get them in a headlock anymore. And at some point, you're going to need to respect their autonomy. Because the way God works with us is not by dragging us down the aisle, but by leading us and saying, come and follow me. God wants to use us as dads to mirror that. That's exactly what this dad is doing here. He's going to advise him, don't do this. God won't bless you for this. He's also going to say, but I'm still going to love you. And I'm still going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask God to work in your life should you decide to do this. Well, the younger son did. He went out there and he spent all his money And the Bible says there was a famine in the land. And the famine caused him to go work for a pig farmer. He's Jewish. And he was so desperate, he was hoping to eat the food of the pigs. Who caused all that? Who caused the famine? I'll tell you who caused it. It was God who caused it. God's the one that led him to that pig farm. And you know why he did that? Because his dad was at home praying for him. You got to remember when you're a dad. Our kids may not turn out to be picture perfect. They may have some flaws. They may have some difficulties. They may have some big weaknesses. They may have some failures in their lives. But you are not alone in trying to lead them. God is with you. You need to remember that. And that's why you need to call upon him. I'll tell you something else this dad did. He never gave up. He didn't write his son off. The Bible says when his son finally came to his senses and went home, the dad was looking afar off. In other words, he had been looking for his son. You know why he was looking for him? Because he was expecting him to come back. You know why he's expecting him to come back? Because his faith and his confidence was in God. That God was at work. That God was helping him. It wasn't just him by himself standing there on the porch. And his confidence was in the Lord. And he never gave up. You know why? Because this dad was going to do whatever it took to help his son get back to where he needed to be. The son comes back and says, I don't even deserve to be your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. Dad says, we're not having any of that. Go kill a fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, give him a robe, give him sandals. Let everybody know my son, who once was lost, is now found. And you know what we're going to do? I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't say, I told you so, son. He celebrated. He celebrated the fact that his son was found. The older son, he didn't like it though. He is rebellious inside. Man, I've been here all this time and you go do all this for him? Dad had to deal with him too. And the dad deals with him in a gracious way just as much as with the younger son. Do you know what our kids need? They need a priest. That's what they need. You know what a priest is? A priest is somebody who's a go-between. He's a person that intervenes. Now, in the Old Testament, what a priest actually did, when he followed the rules and the laws that God had given in the tabernacle, later in the temple, what he actually did was he held at bay the wrath of God. Now, when Christ came, who was our great high priest, he actually allowed the Father vented all his wrath for your sins and my sins and our children's sins upon himself. And that appeased the wrath of God forever and ever. God's righteous judgment, his standard had been met and realized. And so the Lord was able to take all our sins away. He was our go-between. He went between us and the Father. That's why Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but what? Through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know what our kids need? They need a priest. They need a go-between. They need someone who will do one of the most important things there is to do as a priest. The priest had many jobs, but one of their jobs was to go into the holy place and put the showbread on at times and take the incense from the altar and put it in the altar of incense. But the most important job was to go in there and take the oil with an oil can and fill the menorah up so that the light will stay on. You see, because the sunlight from the outside couldn't get inside the holy place. It was completely dark. So the menorah had to be lit for there to be light so that the priest could work, so that he could follow the directions of God. You see, one of the other things we do as a dad, what we should do is we should be carrying around our oil can, providing an environment, an atmosphere of light. As we're responding to the things that our kids are doing, which are good sometimes and are what sometimes? Bad. giving them an environment just like this dad in Luke chapter 15 where they can hear and listen to God. That younger son, he got into the pig pen, and that was his opportunity to listen to God. You know who provided that? The Lord provided it as a response to the father's leadership and prayers as a priest. No, I would say in closing, we need to do whatever it takes in leading and directing, counseling, and loving our kids. Whatever it takes, even if at times we have to carry them.